Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Mem. There are two more prakim left of Hashem's speech to Iyov, and they are becoming more and more mystical, more and more esoterical as we go on. Our perek opens with Hashem turning to Iyov and saying, Harov im shakai yesur, muchiach eloka ya'anena. Should you, the one who argued with Hashem and debated with Hashem, now that Hashem is arguing with you, now you're silent? And the way that the Mefarshim understand this is essentially to say to Iyov, it doesn't really make sense. When God afflicts you with Yisurim, you scream and shout and cry out to the very God that's hurting you. But when God ceases to hurt you and now begins to speak to you in dialogue, suddenly you're silent. In other words, it doesn't really line up, your behavior right now and your silence right now. Or more specifically, it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of the fact that Iyov is still plagued by questions, and his silence is not an indication of his satisfaction and his answer to his questions, which we do see in the next couple psukim, because Iyov in two psukim answers Hashem. Vayan Iyov es Hashem v'yomar. Iyov answers Hashem and he says, Hein, yes, kalosi ma ashiveka. I am kal means simple or small. Mashiveka, what can I say to you? I'm a nobody. How can I answer you? Yadi samti lamo pi. I've put my hand upon my mouth. And the way the Malbim reads this is, the Matulas David reads this is, I'm terrified of you, Hashem. Of course, I still have questions, but I'm too scared to talk. You're almighty, and I realize how small I am. However, the way that the Malbim reads it is really like this. He's saying, I have simplified my questions. Kal, meaning simple. I've simplified my questions being that the experience of Nevuah, the fact that God appeared to me and engaged with me, even though the content of the Nevuah is not satisfactory, the experience of Nevuah has answered many of my questions. Why? The experience of Nevuah shows me that there is Hashkacha, that there is divine providence, that God does interact with reality. But more than that, and this is one of the most powerful points that the Malbim makes, the experience of Nevuah shows me that I have an neshama, that I have a soul, that the piece of me inside of me that I wasn't sure about, that I wasn't aware of, that I didn't believe would live beyond this world, the fact that I've experienced a godly experience here in this world shows me that when my body's gone, I will continue to live. There is life after this, right? The two things that Iyov was denying was life after death and divine providence, and Nevuah has showed him that. And yet, my question of Tzadik Viralo is not fully answered. And the thing that's not fully satisfactory to Iyov, the Mefarshim debate, either it's that he feels like he doesn't have an answer at all to Tzadik Viralo and Rasha V'Tovlo. Alternatively, the Malbim says, no, it's just Rasha V'Tovlo. Why do wicked people prosper that he is unsatisfied with? And those are going to be the two ways we read the next Pasuk. Pasuk Hey tells us, Achas dibarti velo e'ene. One of the things I spoke about, I'm not going to answer about. Ushtayim lo osef, and two, I won't continue. And really, the Malbim is saying, you've answered my question of Tzadik Viralo. If you answer my question on Rasha V'Tovlo, I won't continue to speak. The Malbim, the Matzudas David reads it as Velo Osef. I'm not going to talk either way. The fact that you haven't answered me doesn't mean that Shtayim, I'm going to speak up again. I'm too scared of you, Hashem. I don't want to go there with you. Vayan Hashem es Iyov min ha-sa'ara v'yomar. And once again, Hashem answers Iyov from within this whirlwind of his pain, of his agony. And Hashem says to him again, Azarna k'gever chalatzecha, gird yourself, man up. Esh'alcha v'hodieni, I'm going to ask you some questions and tell me what you think. And Hashem asks Iyov and says in Pasuk Ches, Ha'af tafer mishpati tar'isheni leman titzdak. Iyov, are you seriously saying that you would undermine my justice? And you would say that I am unjust because of your assumed righteousness? You're so bound by your definition of righteousness that you're going to say God is unjust? Pasuk tes ve'im zroa ke'elach. If you had a mighty arm like God, ubekol kamohu tirem, and you could thunder in your voice like God could. And here what's going to happen is Hashem's going to go through a couple psukim where he turns to Iyov and he says, what would you do if you were God? And there's a couple ways of understanding this. The Malbim is essentially understanding this as saying, Iyov, you think that if you were God, if you were mighty like God, you would eradicate all might in the world. Your issue is not with wicked people prospering. Your issue is not with wicked people at all. Your issue is with might and strength, with things that happen which are incredible, which are huge. If everybody was meek and mild, you would be satisfied with the world. And that is crazy. That's not how the world works. And we'll see why the Malbim understands Hashem to reject that. The way the Metzudas David understands this is a very, very beautiful way, which is like this. Human beings are made B'tzelem Elokim, in the image of God. The Medrash tells us when Adam HaRishon was created, Adam HaRishon was Meha'aretz Ad L'Rakia, from the ground all the way to the heaven, and the classical understanding is that he was very tall. But our sages explained to us, Meha'aretz Ad L'Rakia is not talking about his physical height, it's talking about his spiritual potential. He was Meha'aretz, he was all the way from the ground. He could be as lowly as an ant. Ad L'Rakia, he could be as heavenly and as incredible as a malach. The Medrash describes how when Adam HaRishon was created, the malachim, the angels, came to Adam HaRishon and wanted to sing praises to him because they thought he was God. And so, says the Metzudas David, Hashem says, if you really were a tzaddik, a gamor, a complete tzaddik, Eov, then you would become like God. You would be mighty like Hashem. You would adena ga'on v'gova. You would enclose yourself with might and height, v'hod v'hadar tilbash. And you would wear glamour and beauty. In other words, the fact that you are not expressing infinite power that is godly is an indication of the fact that you're not as righteous as you think you are. Because if you were as righteous as you could, then what would you be able to do? Hafetz ivros apecha. Then you could scatter your anger upon the world, and you would take all the mighty, aka wicked things, and make them small. And obviously the Malbim's reading that as, what you think you could do if you were God is make everybody small, because you think there should be like a lowest common denominator of all of reality, that everybody is small and little and there's no more might in the world. These two ways of reading it. If you were God, says the Metzudas David, then you would be able to re'eh kol ga'ahach ni'ehu. You would take everything that's wicked and suppress it. V'hadoch r'sha'im tachtaven, really tread down and destroy the wicked people. There's a Chazal that tells us, Hashem turns to humanity and says, pitchu li petach shel machat. If you open up for me the opening of an eye of a needle, ani eftach lahem petach shel ulam, I will open up the opening of an entire banquet hall. And Rav Shwadron explains that if we look at our lives and we don't have the openings of banquet halls, the opportunities, the strength, the might, the capabilities, then it means that we haven't even opened up enough to be the eye of a needle. The koach of a human being is so great and so powerful, Eov, that the more righteous you are, the more powerful you are. We know, for example, that Yehoshua is able to stop the sun up in heaven in Yehoshua Perigud because of his might and his greatness. The fact that you are incapable of doing that, the fact that you're not expressing these tremendous powers, is an indication of the fact that you're not as great as you could be. But Hashem says, if you could destroy all of wickedness, then pasuk your dalad, gamani odeka, then I would also acknowledge your greatness. Ki toshia lecha yemincha, because your right hand can save. But you're not, and you can't. Pasuk tesvav is going to introduce us to an animal. An animal which is known in English as the behemoth, right, in Hebrew as the behemos, and it's in plural, even though the singular is behemah, perhaps because of its might, that it's so strong and so big that it's a behemos. And it's talking about this incredibly huge, ferocious, scary, massive creature. I'm going to read the psukim, and then we'll have to ask ourselves, why is this behemos being spoken about here? After the behemos, alerting you, Sefer Eov is going to talk about a second animal called the Leviathan. And we're going to next perek speak more about the Leviathan and really compare and contrast the behemoth and the Leviathan and try understand what is being spoken about here. But I will preemptively say that to really understand the imagery of the behemoth and the Leviathan, as I said at the beginning of this recording, you really need a tremendous amount of understanding of Kabbalah. There's something very mystical and very Kabbalistic here, and what we're going to do will merely scratch the surface in terms of understanding of this animal. Let's go. Pasuk Tesvav describes, Hineina behemos asher asiti imach. There is this behemos that I made with you, meaning with you, with all of creation. Chatzir kabakariachal, and it eats grass as another scary mighty animal might eat bakar, might oxen. Hinena kochob matnav v'ono b'shrirei bitno. He is incredibly strong. His strength is in his loins, and his might is in the muscles of his tummy. He is terrifying. Atzamav afike nechusha. His bones are like tubes of bronze. Gramav kamatil barzel. And his bones, once again, or his limbs, are filled with iron. Hine reshit darche el. He is the beginning of the ways of God, meaning he was created as the first creature that was created. And there's a parallel here because we know that we're called Reshit also, right? Am Yisrael is known as Reshit. Here, this Reshit, this firstling of creation, is the Behemos. Ha'oso Yagesh Harbo, and he who made him, meaning the creator, Hashem, is the only one who's able to destroy him. Ki Bul Harim Yas'ulo, they bring him all the produce of the field. He's such a big animal, he can eat absolutely everything. V'kochayas Hasadeh Yisachakusham, and all the animals play there. This incredibly ferocious animal, tachas tse'ilim yishkav, lies under the shade. Beseter kane ubitza, he sits under the reeds in the shade. Why is this animal being mentioned? So, as I said, we're going to bring some explanations. The one is the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh says that since we've gone from talking about God's might in the Sefer, we started with Hashem's control over inanimate objects, then we spoke about the animal kingdom, so now we're going to talk about the mystical kingdom. And this is just drawing forth, if these are the mighty animals that God controls, right? You have an inability to understand them, kal v'chomer sheva kal v'chomer, how much more so you have an inability to understand God. The Malbim, however, understands it. As we said, the Malbim reads the whole parak, essentially saying, if you want to destroy all that is powerful, if you want to destroy all that is powerful, you would have to destroy the Behemos and the Leviathan as well. But that's not how reality works. I'm not going to give you the power to destroy creatures which only Hashem can destroy. They were created at the beginning of creation. And more than that, says the Malbim, they're also created in order to tell us about the might of God. We see God's might, we see God's incredibleness, not just when good things happen. And we spoke so much in this Sefer about how when wicked people are destroyed, it's a revelation of God. Might is also a revelation of God. Strength is a revelation of God. Whether we see it in the animal kingdom or the human kingdom, when we see that God can create something very powerful, it helps us to know God better. And therefore, these creatures need to exist because they're a declaration of how incredible Hashem is, which connects beautifully to the Al-Sheikh. The Metzudas David essentially is saying that the reason why these animals are brought is for Hashem to say, I have supreme control over even the strongest creatures in the world. If I can control this behemoth that could eat the crops of the entire planet Earth in one feeding, that is so big and mighty, it needs the shade of all of the mountains to be shaded by, and I can control it, I can guide it, then don't worry, I've also got you. Right? As they say, a big God has little problems. My might and strength is not limited. I am unlimited. Either way, we're introduced to this behemoth. And then, as I said, we're going to begin to talk about the next animal called the Leviathan, although the Leviathan is going to be the primary focus of the next parak. So we're not going to talk about it beyond the psukim here, because it will be the focus of our next parak. Timshach Leviathan Becheka Pasuk Chaf Aleph says, draw out, or can you draw out, the Leviathan with a hook, and again, use a cord to pull out its tongue. Hatasim agmon ba'apo, will you put a ring around its nose? You can imagine now an ox with a ring around his nose to kind of to control it. Ubechoach tokev lechyo, or can you bore its jaw or hold onto it with a hook? Again, implying there's this animal that's absolutely uncontrollable. Whereas the behemoth is the animal of the land, the Leviathan is the animal of the sea, right? And it says, Hayirbe alecha tachanunim, do you think that the Leviathan will plead to you? Im yadaber alecha rakod, will it speak to you in soft words? No, he won't. He's terrifying. He's huge. Hayichros bris imach, you think that the Leviathan is going to make a covenant with you? Tekachena le'eved olam, no, it won't allow you to take it as a servant. It is mighty, it is huge, and it is well beyond the limitations of a human being. Pasuk Lamed Aleph tells us, Hatamale besukot oro, ubitzil dagim rosho, which means, could you fill its skin with, so Sukkot is spelled with a sin, not a samach. Sin, Sukkot means barbs or like sharp things. You fill it in order to like trap this leviathan in the sea. You would like fill its skin with lots of like sharp barbed wires. And you could put its head inside of some sort of container. However, Rashi reads the word Sukkot not with the sin, but with a samach, meaning a sukkah. And could you take its skin and use it to cover up a sukkah? And that's going to lead us to next perek, where we're going to speak about how, really, Chazal speak about how the leviathan's flesh is used for a sukkah, perhaps, in the world to come. And as we said, that's going to be really the focus of next perek. Our perek ends with Pasuk Lamed Beis, which says, Sim alav kapecha, if you even touch this leviathan, zochor michamal al tosif, then you will no longer be, remember war. You'll be so utterly destroyed. You'll be so mightily broken down that you'll have no idea what war is. Anything you've seen, or think you've seen up until now, you haven't, because he will totally, totally obliterate you. And now we need to ask ourselves, so what is the difference between the behemah, though the behemos, and the leviathan? And what is Chazal teaching us? What is Eov teaching us by bringing these two in comparison? Our learning today was sponsored by the Nachyomi Chavruta, in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael Verachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with family, Torah, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schos of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.